From Topps comes the all-new digital card collecting app, free to download from iTunes or Google Play, Star Wars Card Trader.
For the first time ever, collect and trade everything from legendary 1977 Star Wars cards to new cards featuring exclusive content from Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens.
All from the comfort of your mobile devices, Star Wars Card Trader.
These are the cards you're looking for.
Listening to Coffee with Kenobi, you are, with Dan Z and Corey Club. The podcast you're looking for. This is... Yes.
For an entire generation, people have experienced Star Wars the only way it's been possible. On the TV screen. But if you've only seen it this way, you haven't seen it at all.
This is the podcast you're looking for.
We've been waiting for you.
The Force is strong here, even stronger than the coffee.
Last, where have you been?
Welcome to Coffee with Kenobi. Here are your hosts, Dan Z and Corey Club.
And then welcome to Star Wars Reads Day with Coffee with Kenobi. Yeah, you can clap. We are a Star Wars podcast that analyzes our favorite saga in a whole new way and are delighted to be here for Star Wars Reads Day 2015. I'm Dan Z, Mr. Zare for my students here, and with me is my good friend and co-host, Corey Club.
Hello, everybody. How's it going? Good, fun day today at school here. We're having all kinds of expos here, a lot of games, a lot of prizes, great hosting by all the students here helping out, and good time.
It is. It's a lot of fun. There's a lot of things that go, of course, into organizing something like this. And it really can't go on without the vision of Mr. Gross. He's our librarian here. Right now, he's networking as we speak, Even though he knows he's supposed to be on the stage. So let's have Mr. Gross come on down to Coffee with Kenobi and tell us a little bit more about Star Wars Reads Day.
All right. Hey, thanks so much for all the people here to attend to Star Wars Reads Day, and thanks to Coffee with Kenobi and all the other guests we've had today. This has been such a great event.
Yeah, you've done an amazing job of making this happen. Tell us... kind of how you got the idea for this and what we've got going on, all the clubs and sponsors that we have.
Well, the idea came from just, you know, I'm a librarian here at the high school and love reading and love promoting reading, and I love Star Wars, so it was just a perfect marriage of Star Wars and promoting literacy. It's such a great story, so many great characters, that it's a great way to introduce or fall in love with reading. And so I wanted to bring Star Wars Reads Day to Washington, the high school, but also to the community, to promote reading, promote something fun, some excitement on an October day. And it's worked out really well. The book club is involved with this. Part of our mission and book club is to raise books with our Scholastic Fair here. We're raising books that we're going to then turn around and give right back into the community to the grade schools and get these books into the schools, get these books into the hands of kids that maybe don't have books at home, and just give that opportunity so that they can start creating and building their own library, some books that they love, and that route. And, you know, I asked the book club to help out, but I've got members of the Washington Game Club here. I've got members of the Drama Club here, and didn't they do an awesome job?
Yes, yeah, very good.
They did an awesome job with performing a scene from Ian Desher's Verily, A New Hope, which was just fantastic to see. They had costumes and everything. And then I also have some science club members here and some faculty and staff. It's been a great, great event so far.
Absolutely. So, you know, talk about Star Wars books and Star Wars Reads Day. This is an annual event. Something like this magnitude, you have to have a lot of help. And, you know, we have some great members here from the 501st. How'd you get in touch with some of folks like that?
Well, I went to their webpage and I put the call out and said, "Hey, we're doing this awesome event at the high school, and would love to have you here to just draw some attention, but also to have some excitement here." I mean, how awesome is it to kind of walk around and mingle with some of the characters from Star Wars? I mean, I just think that's so cool, and all their awesome costumes, and I saw some lightsabers flashing over in the corner over there, and so, you know, that. So I just reached out on the internet, and they responded.
Well, I know that 501st and Rebel Legions all do a great job of helping their own community and stepping out, so yeah. It's good for them.
Oh yeah, it's great, great, great. We want to thank Tom again for all the amazing things he's done for WCHS, not only for Star Wars Reads Day, but just the contributions he's made to our faculty and staff. Let's hear it for Mr. Gross.
Thank you.
You bet. And now let's go into some news, including an interview with a member of the 501st and the Mandalorian Mercs.
And now, let's see what's brewing in the Star Wars universe this week.
Oh, wait. This is interesting.
You found something.
I'm about to let everyone in on the secret.
All right, so one of the great things about Star Wars and fandom is the 501st, the Mandalorian Mercs, the Rebel Legion, they are charity organizations, costuming organizations that do their part to spread awareness for important things that are going on. The donations they receive, they give to children's hospitals and to other very needy, worthy causes. They were embraced by Lucasfilm in the late 90s, and they've just done nothing but grow. They are a worldwide community. Let's have a member of the Midwest Garrison 501st come on down right now and join us. Woo! Welcome, my friend. He is taking off his bucket right now. He is an AT-AT driver, an amazing, amazing costume, to be sure. So tell us, if you will, your name and sort of how you got involved with the 501st and what it's all about.
Okay, well, thanks everyone for coming out first. My name is Scott Miller, and I've been a Star Wars fan about as long as I can remember. Honestly, one of my biggest connections with Star Wars was always reading the great Expanded Universe novels throughout my childhood, and that just really kept me engaged through the long drought of films and things like that. I got into the costuming side of it through one of my friends from high school. We went to Star Wars Celebration 4?
In Los Angeles?
No, it must have been 5 and 6 in Orlando.
Yes.
And he built a Jedi costume. So he got into the Rebel Legion, and that really got me thinking. And I built my first costume not too long after that, which was an X-Wing pilot, a custom X-Wing pilot, not one of the face characters specifically. And, you know, not too long after that, that really jogged my interest in getting an Imperial costume, too. And then that was, you know, that started the long journey of trying to figure out what the best one would be. You know, what really sounded like fun. And from there, I hopped between a few before I settled on the AT-AT driver. It's just a really cool costume that you just don't see that often. And that just really drew me to it, I think.
Well, definitely sitting here, you're authentic enough. I mean, I can mistake you for a guy coming off the screen, so looks great. You know, some of the folks out there don't know, and some of the kids here don't know about the costuming and what you guys do. So what does it take to put this stuff together? You said you've done numerous costumes. So something like this, this costume you hear, what would you say goes into something like that?
Well, you know, the best thing if you're looking to get involved is we have just so many resources available on our two websites, the RebelLegion.com forums, and with the 501st, it's a little bit more scattered, but in general, you'll have forums for, we have detachments for the different groups of costumes. So, for instance, this is a armored cavalry detachment, so we've got an armored cavalry detachment website with forums. Just lots of members that are looking to help, new prospective members, and all of the information you could possibly want to find out if you were looking to build your own costume. You know, a lot of it is just you got to just get out there and just talk to people. You know, there's so many people that are out there looking to help prospective members. And, you know, there's even more resources now than there were just 2 or 3 years ago. You know, lots more sources where you can get stuff, you know, if you're not necessarily capable of building everything yourself. And just a ton of people you can leverage for information.
Absolutely. And have you seen an increased push for people to join ever since Disney bought Lucasfilm and The Force Awakens is getting closer and closer?
Oh, it does feel like there's just more people all the time. And I mean, it just feels like more events than ever before. You know, it feels like we're getting event requests, even in Central Illinois, just every day, you know, every weekend now. I mean, I remember just a couple years ago, you know, 1 or 2 a month, maybe. I mean, that was about the best you could hope for in this area. Obviously, in Chicago, it's a little bit different, but I'm from the Central Illinois area also, and so it's great to see with the raised awareness of the new films, like, we're just everyone's so excited about Star Wars, which is great because it lets us share our love about Star Wars and help raise money for good causes, obviously.
Oh, no, too, your personal experience as far as putting on the costume and, like you said, going to all these events, what's that like for you? How does that make you feel?
It's, you know, it's just hard to describe. I mean, it's, I have to say, you know, earlier today I saw there's been a little, actually he's right over there, this little boy in blue, and he was just talking to Tarful, our resident Wookiee over here.
Yeah, he's like 8 foot tall.
And I had the biggest smile on my face behind my helmet. It's just great to see the kids come out and have fun. I mean, that's just, it just puts a smile on your face. It just warms your heart to see. And you know, I love to get out to these events where we see all the kids. It's great.
Well, thank you, Scott, so much for all you do for the 501st and just the Midwest Garrison. And just, again, a worldwide organization that gives back to the communities and helps out really good causes, and all done with joy and love for Star Wars. Thank you so much, Scott, for being a guest on Coffee with Kenobi.
Thank you guys for having me.
All right, so we're going to jump now, and it's a little more discussion. One of the things we like to do on Coffee with Kenobi, as we talk a little bit about the news, collectors, our main thrust of our show is getting fans involved with our show, which at the end of the show, you will have time to ask any questions you have or sort of share your thoughts on Star Wars. But before we do that, Corey, let's talk a little bit about what's been going on in New York this weekend is New York Comic Con. It's turning out to be one of the biggest conventions, really.
Well, it's almost on par with San Diego Comic Con. I know in the past years, San Diego Comic Con has been pretty large as far as actors and you know, more of the production companies coming in and producing, you know, having them do panels and things like this. So New York is obviously coming to par with that as far as making that more of a relevant event as far as for, you know, for fans to check out on the East Coast.
Absolutely, and we have our Mike Audette. He's covering New York Comic Con for us, so we'll have him on very soon. But maybe the biggest news that's come out, there have been a lot of collectibles and things announced and things of that nature, but we did find out when the Los Angeles premiere of The Force Awakens, and when is that, Corey Club?
It's December 14th. We heard that earlier in the week. I think you texted me a little bit about that, and we're pretty excited. But that's a little ahead of time as far as the 17th. I think it's
18th.
Well, 17th in Europe, is that right?
Oh yeah, look at you. Yeah, he's a man of the world, ladies and gentlemen.
I try to get there, but I think. What do you think? You're going to try to take a plane out there and check that out?
Oh man, well, if the Hollywood Reporter is actually one of the main groups that broke this, but it does say the premiere, of course, is going to be a premiere in London as well, which makes sense since that's where they filmed it. Hollywood Reporter speculates it's going to be some of the biggest fans that are out there are going to be trying press. We're going to try to get an invited. I don't know that that's going to happen. In fact, Disney has pretty much said they're not going to do any screenings of this. I think they feel pretty confident in their product, which makes sense to me.
Yeah, it makes sense to me, too. I mean, everybody's been looking forward to this for a number of years now, actually, and it's coming to fruition very soon. We're almost, you know, 2 months out, less than that, if anything, but you know, kids are gearing up for Halloween, and we sell a lot of Halloween costumes and stuff like that. And merchandising has been huge, kind of kicking everything off, too. I think they're trying to play close to the vest there as far as, you know, showing any premiere or anything beforehand.
True. The thing we know for sure is that it's going to premiere on December 17th in the UK, December 16th in France, and then, of course, worldwide debut on December 18th. I know we'll be there.
Yeah, definitely. We're going to definitely do a midnight pass, hopefully, get in there and be able to meet with some folks and talk to fans and have a great time.
Absolutely, absolutely. Our next thing we're going to look at is we're going to talk a little bit more about Rebels Season 2.
Yeah, that's interesting because they had a couple trailers come out recently. If folks have been watching on the Disney XD, we have Season 2 coming out pretty soon, next week or so. They had the premiere over the summer as far as what we saw in Anaheim.
With Darth Vader.
Yeah, with Darth Vader and everybody meeting him, kind of taking him on. But, you know, fans are looking forward to the season, too. We saw a preview just the other day about as far as kind of what we'll kind of aim to see, some new characters, some old characters returning, Dan. Name us some of those that we've seen.
Yeah, well, of course, the big one, the big announcement, we knew Ahsoka because she was at the end of season one, but Captain Rex from the Clone Wars, Captain Wolf, and Captain Gregor, they're all commanders now. Yep. My apologies, gentlemen. They are all going to be coming back, as is Hondo Inaka, a very famous pirate from the Clone Wars, actually.
Yeah, he looks like he gives Ezra some knowledge or some advice maybe that he's seen over the years.
He said, be a Jedi pirate. So I'm not going to do a Hondo impression.
No,
I know
no.
You're tempted to.
I can't do it.
You
sorry.
Can't? Okay.
No.
It's going to be pretty exciting. It's on, of course, our website, coffeewithkenobi.com, as well as starwars.com. It looks spectacular. Rebels, if you haven't seen Rebels, it basically takes place. It's 6 years before the scenes in A New Hope, and it's a tremendous, tremendous show. The quality is good. The animation is great. The voice acting is incredible. A lot of talented folks there. And, of course, yep. Dave Filoni, who was in charge of Clone Wars, is running the show there for that. So it's been a lot of fun.
Absolutely, and I'd like to mention, too, some of the villains we saw in the trailer, Sarah Michelle Gellar is doing voice one of those, and that's kind of a surprise. We talked about our last show as far as her voicing that and some new characters and some new Inquisitors. So it was exciting to see new characters and old characters kind of meet up.
That's right, that's right. It's going to be a lot of fun, and we're looking forward to seeing what everyone else thinks about Star Wars Rebels.
Han Solo, Rebel Soldier, Lando Calrissian, and Bespin Guard, each sold separately. From Star Wars, The Empire Strikes Back Collection, new from Kenner.
Looking? Found someone you have, I would say. Hmm?
Your lightsabers will make a fine addition to my collection.
So what? One of the fun things about Coffee with Kenobi is a lot of the companies that support Star Wars and are promoting it, they're very gracious to send samples of things out to different media outlets, and we're very honored that we get to be one of them. And we got a really nice package from Hasbro, and essentially they have a marketing campaign where they did a hashtag, and you could either choose the light side or choose the dark side. We chose light side, Corey. Why do we do that? Everyone keeps telling me I made the wrong choice.
No, that's not the wrong choice. I think it's a personal choice, if you want to call it that. We kind of talked about it a little bit. I know that everybody has their most either side they like to choose. Definitely on the light side of things. I think you are too. That was a natural choice for us. But it was kind of a fun campaign, and got a huge box in the mail.
Yeah, and it's pretty exciting. Hasbro was very kind to do that. We appreciate that and thank them very much. I think the main reason for me to sort of lean you towards the light side, because, you know, that sounds worse than it actually is. The dark side has, of course, the cool stuff, the Stormtroopers and Kylo Ren and things of that nature.
Yeah.
However, I wanted to make sure that if Luke Skywalker and Han Solo and Princess Leia were hard to get a hold of, that we'd make sure that we could, you know, be fortunate enough to,
that's right,
to get something like that. So let's go ahead and look at some of the things they sent us. We'll just
sure.
kind of unbox here. One of the things they were sending out to everybody was they had the Black Series Titanium, and they're basically small die-cast. I don't know how big you would say they are.
Yeah, it's... looks like it's the size kind of a ornament or something.
It's like the Hot Wheels $4 and $5 sure. ones they're selling at Toys R Us and Target and things of that nature. The one they sent us was the Millennium Falcon. There are a number of ones that you can choose from that they send you. It could be the X-Wing, Vader's TIE Advance, First Order Special Forces TIE Fighter, which is really slick with
yeah.
the black and the red, Kylo Ren's shuttle, Ray Speeder, a whole bunch, but we were fortunate to get the Millennium Falcon. What do you think of this thing?
It's slick, man. Definitely the one from Episode 7. He's got the rectangle radar dish on there, updating it for the new episode. And, it's kind of heavy in this box here. It's the kind of the Black Series. But I think out of all the ones that you kind of mentioned there, it'd be one of the top ones to get.
Yeah, when I saw this is the one that we were going to get, we were pretty excited about that. We have it here on display for people if they want to check it out. But that was the first one they sent us. Another thing they send is the Black Series 6-inch is such an incredibly popular line.
Yep.
It's probably eclipsed the 3 3/4-inch line. And they sent us Rey from Jakku with BB-8. And you actually have this open, don't you? Or am I thinking of Tom?
I picked up on Force Friday, I picked up Kylo Ren as kind of my first get, if you want to call it that, for the Black Series 6-inch. Because I don't have any of those yet, and I think we go well with some other collectibles. But this is definitely one I want to kind of keep an eye out for. Holding back a little bit just to see what else is going to be coming
right.
out. So, but you had mentioned that you don't have any of these yet, so how do you feel about it?
Yeah, I've been sort of hit and miss on the Black Series 6-inch line because some of the sculpts I think are gorgeous, and some sort of missed the mark for me personally. I do know, as I said, they have eclipsed the 3 3/4-inch line as far as the challenge of trying to find them and things of that nature.
Yeah.
Are you a collector?
Yes.
All right, come on down. We've got a member here of the Mandalorian Mercs that's going to join us.
How's it going, guys?
Great. Well, go ahead and tell us your name and tell us about your Star Wars collection.
Well, my name is James Kelly. I'm actually a resident from Springdale, Illinois, right outside East Peoria in Metamora. I actually have every figure from the 6-inch series that's been put out to date.
Wow.
I've been getting them as they've been coming out in waves. I actually I missed out on the opportunity on Force Friday to get the 5 that came out initially. I actually had to bounce between multiple Walgreens just the other day in order to actually pick up all 5 of them. Because, like, literally, they're 3 different locations just in Peoria, and sure. The last one I had to pick up was actually, I believe it was in East Peoria.
Yeah, I think you're right. And what do you think about the sculpts on these?
To be honest, I like the sculpts. I like the attention to detail. A lot of them look really slick, especially when we come to the new ones. Like, I like the way they made Rey and BB-8 look with the one you have here. I really like the Kylo Ren sculpt. The lightsaber is a little wonky to me, but...
You have Kylo, too. Like it could break easily, or is it okay?
It kind of snaps on. I don't know if you've opened yours yet.
No, I keep all mine in box.
Okay. Attaboy.
They're all tacked up on my wall around various stuff.
Nice.
So, you know, I'm displaying them that way.
Good. So, do you have a personal favorite so far of the Force Awakens?
Oh, out of the Force Awakens one, honestly, the one that I'm looking forward to the most comes out in the next set, and that's Captain Phasma.
Oh, yeah, that and me definitely, too.
Corey has me on the lookout for that one.
I know a couple of folks have heard online that it came out early. They mixed up some shipments or things like that, or done on purpose, I think, just to get new stuff out there. But that's what I'm keeping my eye out for, too. So.
Yeah, I know a few people who I go back and forth with on Facebook, and, you know, we show off some bits of our collection. One of the guys just picked up a Kylo Ren vinyl pop, the Target exclusive one, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And so we started popping in, like, some of our other Force Awakens stuff. And it's like, okay, I see yours, and I show you all, I bam, all 5. Next thing I know, someone pops up with a... Elite series Captain Phasma and a Black series Captain Phasma. It's just like, okay, that's not cool, man. That's not cool. You just showed us all up.
Very good. I guess I'll ask there for our last question. We're looking forward to for the remainder of this Black series. I think they'll come out with characters that we haven't seen yet at all. I mean, a Luke or a Han or.
To be honest, I'm really, really hoping that we get to see more variations of certain characters. Like, the last set kind of flew under the radar when the Bausch version of Princess Leia came out. So I was kind of excited to see that. I'm kind of hoping to see other versions of her. I want to see one of each character in their respective costume from each film. Yeah. But probably the one I'm looking forward to the most... outside of Captain Phasma, at least variant-wise, would probably be Emperor's Wrath Darth Vader, which there's no release date for that one that's been set that I could tell of. And it looks kind of neat because they kind of got this X-ray kind of effect going on because it's actually when he was getting electrocuted when he threw the Emperor.
About that one, yeah.
And that one's going to be a Walgreens exclusive. So wow. I'm really looking forward to that
one. Like the white-armored Fett.
Yeah.
And I like the Proto Boba. I actually bought 2 of those so I could mod one.
Okay.
Very good. Well, thank you so much for being a guest here on Coffee with Kenobi. Keep on doing the great work you are with the Mercs and the 501st.
Well, thank you for having me.
Thanks, man.
Hey, it's Dan Z.
And Corey Club.
From Coffee with Kenobi. And we are excited to let you know about the Star Wars Card Trader app from Topps.
Yeah, Dan, you remember those cards that came out in 1977, the good old days? Well, they're back again. Yeah, so it's the Star Wars Card Trader app. It has them all, as well as fantastic images from The Force Awakens, The Clone Wars, Rebels, and much more.
Absolutely. You've got your favorite characters, memorable scenes. You've got key moments. It's all there. You get credits every day for free from the app, which is available from iTunes or Google Play. Open packs from the cantina. Trade with your friends and enjoy these amazing Star Wars memories as you take your first step into a larger world.
There are so many different sets to choose from also, and there's so many great cards to chase. There's special inserts, there's rewards for completing sets and variants. It's everything you love in collecting from a galaxy far, far away.
The Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting App from Topps.
These are the cards you're looking for.
All right, we've got some more good things. We have a raffle?
We have a raffle.
We do. I've got some... these are the prizes that... the kids are putting tickets into from winning the game. So the first one that I have here is for Hannah Langstaff. Is Hannah Langstaff? She is. Here she comes.
Yay, Hannah. Let's get up for Hannah. Nice.
All right. The next prize that I have is, by the way, a lot of these prizes were donated by Zeke's Games and Comics. And so thank you to Zach at Zeke's for some of these donations. The next prize I have is Reagan. It just says Reagan. Is Reagan here?
All right.
Congratulations, Reagan. Enjoy it.
All right. And I have, now these are the front door prizes. So get those tickets out there, the orange tickets you dropped in when you came in. So we're going to read off the numbers and then we'll send these numbers over to the prize table. So so when I name your number, just be patient, head over there and we'll get the numbers over. They'll check them and then give you your prize. So here we go. We have 830-8011. 8011. All right, head over to the prize table. Then we have 830-8090. 8090. Then next, 830-8065. 8065. Oh, I think we got a winner on that one. Then we have 830-8051. 8051. Another one. Look at all these great prizes we have. We're going to get you over at the prize table. 830-8088. 8088. 830. Next one. 830-8042. 8042. And 830-8050. 8050. Don't throw those tickets away. We have a lot more prizes to give away. So if one of those numbers was yours, head over to the prize table. Claim your prize. Thanks, guys.
Dan, were you a winner on that?
I was not. Were you?
Actually, one of my sons is here, Noah. He got a chance to go over there and grab one of those awesome prize packages, door prizes. So thank you very much for putting that together.
Oh, absolutely. That was all Tom and Maureen and Caleb did that. All right, we've got a few more things we want to talk about collector-wise. Absolutely, yeah. And the next thing we want to talk about is the Nerf Chewbacca Bowcaster. This is, based on Corey's son's expression,
this is a pretty exciting little thing. Because...
Tell us about this. This is actually one that is going to the club household.
That's right. We talked about this. This is something that Nerf came out with as their Bowcaster, a replica of Chewbacca's famous weapon. It's got... Looks like it.
It's awesome. I might have to arm wrestle you.
We haven't have to Nerf war over it.
Yeah, oh, good.
So I'll shoot Nerf bullets at you. You can try and deflect them with a lightsaber. So, this is definitely something that is pretty cool. It shoots up to 65 feet. It's 20 meters if you're thinking about that.
Well, look at you. You are. I said you were worldly. You clearly are.
So it's got pretty authentic things. It's got the bright orange colors that Chewbacca has.
And then the green
darts,
darts have the Rebel logo on them.
Yeah, so it's full color. It looks great. I mean, it's something if you're looking to dress up as a Chewbacca for Halloween or just want to, you know, hang out and with your robe on and be able to, you know, feel like you want to challenge your brother or sister or even a friend of yours to come out for a Nerf war, this is definitely something to pick up.
It is. Another thing we got, which actually is not here with us right now, is the Chewbacca. It's the Chewbacca electronic mask. And this thing, ladies and gentlemen, is a thing to behold. Please look it up online. My son has it at home. He's had a lot of fun with it. It's an actual Chewbacca mask, but it's wired. It's got batteries in it. And the more you open, the wider you open Chewbacca's mouth, the louder and more intense the growls. They came right from the movies. It is really something else. In fact, I'm going to call out Mrs. Zare, who's busy right there. But Mrs. Zare even tried on the Chewbacca mask. And it was pretty entertaining.
She got thumbs up over there, yeah.
She still was beautiful, though, even with the mask on, I got to say.
So how loud does her Chewbacca get?
How about it gets pretty loud. Like,
is it? Okay.
You're tempted to do it, aren't you?
No, I can't do it myself. I actually have to gargle some water to do that. But,
oh.
So what else do we have here?
That's the last thing we want to talk about is the... this is one of the big ones. This is the Star Wars... It's the Master Lightsaber and the Extendable Lightsaber set. The Jedi Master Lightsaber, it has 100 different combinations, different handles, different color blades. it is definitely a hot item that Hasbro is promoting. And you can buy different ones. They send us Luke Skywalker from Return of the Jedi, but you can get Luke. You can get Darth Vader.
Kylo Ren.
And you can get Anakin's, too. It's pretty darn impressive. It's most impressive, you might say.
It truly is. This is something we actually got for our son for... Our grandparents got for our son for his birthday, and he's been playing with it for quite a long time. So it's been a lot of fun to be able to put together, you know, every different combination.
And we have a listener here who has a question for us. Come on up, buddy.
What's your question?
How exactly do you get that?
Well, actually, this was donated to one of our staff members, but you can get them at Toys R Us and Target and Walmart. It's a pretty good thing to put on Santa's list, I would say, too, my friend. So definitely make sure to check that out. So let's go on now to our discussion statement. We've got an exclusive for WCHS. You saw the interactions with the WCHS Drama Club. They did an amazing job. And it's all thanks to the genius of Ian Desher. Ian Desher wrote William Shakespeare's Star Wars. He wrote for all six of the films. He took the Star Wars films and wrote them in iambic pentameter and different poetic devices. And I had the opportunity, he's actually become a friend of ours through Celebration Anaheim, but I had the opportunity to go to St. Louis a few weeks ago and interview him live. So I do have a video presentation of that, sort of talking just for WCHS and Star Wars Reads Day. So let's bring in Ian Desher in this awesome conversation.
Luke, you're going to find that many of the truths we cling to depend greatly on our own point of view.
I must be allowed to speak.
You've taken your first step into a larger world.
Welcome to Star Wars Reads Day. I'm here with William Shakespeare's Star Wars author, Ian Desher. Really, really excited. This is an exclusive just for Washington Reads, and we're really excited to have you in here. Welcome.
Thanks.
You called with Kenobi and Washington Reads.
Thanks. Hi, everybody. Again.
So let's just get down to it. What inspired you to write William Shakespeare's Star Wars?
So three things happened right around the same time. So I watched the Star Wars trilogy with some good friends of mine. Then I read Pride and Prejudice and Zombies, one of these first mashup books, and then went to the Oregon Shakespeare Festival with my family. And so I had Star Wars and mashups and Shakespeare all in my head. And after I was at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival when I had the idea. It all went from there.
Wow. And just there's some particular moment, or just sort, you just sort of thought, wow, this would be cool for Star Wars.
You know, my memory is that I was on a morning jog, which is when I seem to have all my good ideas, was just thinking, it would be really fun to take Star Wars and rewrite it as though it were a play by Shakespeare. And it seemed like it might work for, you know, theme-wise, it seemed like it would work. Length-wise, it seemed like it would work. So it just felt right as soon as I had the idea.
Right. That's cool. And then, of course, your latest book is Tragedy of the Sith Revenge, which we'll be giving away a copy of that here at the event. What challenges do the prequels represent for you versus the original trilogy?
Well, I don't know the prequels nearly as well as I know the original trilogy, and so I had to make sure that I understood what was going on in them. So I pulled together a very exclusive group of people, of which Mr. Zare was one, to talk me through not only make sure I had all the plot points right, but also make sure that I was going to hit all the right themes and talk about what some of the challenges are with the prequels, all of those things, to help me sort of, you know, buffer up my familiarity with prequels.
Right. And then our librarian, Tom Gross. Hi, Mr. Gross. He wanted me to ask you this one. Did you have any sort of epiphany moments about Star Wars when you were writing these six? Like, oh, I never thought about that for the films. It just kind of changed the way you look at the movies?
Definitely with the very first book, the extent to which I realized that Luke Skywalker is the hero of that book. The movie, of course. It was,
sure.
You don't realize until you spend that much time with it. And partially that's because as I've grown older, you know, Luke can somehow can sometimes come across as a little whiny in that first movie. But he really is the hero of that first movie, and really sort of became for me like a Henry V kind of character, rallying his troops together and a young leader.
Which makes sense at the end of the first book.
Right, exactly, right. He has a couple of Henry speeches, basically, adapted for Star Wars use. But yeah, so I would call that an epiphany for sure.
Isn't that cool? That's cool. So you've obviously written a lot of words about Shakespeare and Star Wars together. Do you have any favorite lines from the book that were inspired by the movie that kind of resonate with you? In other words, do you quote yourself?
Yeah. Well, what's my favorite of what I've written? That's a great question. And I don't know. I don't know that I have favorite lines. I have favorite scenes that I really enjoyed putting together or writing, or favorite soliloquies that I enjoy doing. So a couple of Emperor Palpatine's speeches I really enjoy. I really like writing for villains for whatever reason.
Sure.
Some of the scenes between two Imperial guards or two Jedi where I get to sort of poke fun at the movies, you know, but within the story itself, have been fun. So I don't know about particular lines, but I definitely have enjoyed those other moments.
That's cool. And this one, I know that you've seen this. So your books, the books are great to read. Clearly they are. But there's something about when we were in California in April, I got to see a performance of a combination of the original trilogy, basically. And you were on that panel, and you were awesome. Who knew you could do such a good Greedo? And actually, he does a really good Yoda, by the way. He's done that on our show before. What is it like for you to see your work performed?
It's just amazing. It's amazing because here are these incredibly talented people, incredibly talented voice actors who are bringing their talents to bear and really making my words come alive. Just really, it's an honor and it's really humbling, honestly.
Right. Is there, and then, like, for me, like, I knew your book was funny, but I also knew it had tackled some serious topics, but to see them performed by, like, amazing voice actors, it just adds a little bit more to it, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean,
Shakespeare himself.
Right. I mean, it adds in the drama, right? I mean, this is why people often will say Shakespeare is meant to be read or performed, read out loud or performed, not just read on the page.
Right.
And in his time, it never would have been read on the page. You know, it would have been performed. So,
stage.
And that's why I think I think it's that same experience for these books adds that same sort of emotional, both for the serious parts and the fun parts, you know, just makes the experience that much richer.
Makes sense. So you've got, obviously, and we're talking about literacy here, of course, all day for Star Wars Reads Day at Washington High School, and the power of literacy is such, to be literate, you have to be a great reader, you have to be a great writer, you know, there's just a nice balance there. Of course, you can't have one without the other, so you're talking about a book like this. What is your writing process like when you're making the William Shakespeare Star Wars series?
So I would have the movie, the DVD, in my computer and have the script open online. Would sort of watch a few seconds of the movie to sort of catch what the next line is, remind myself of what it is. If there were minor character names I didn't know, or there were a handful of lines in the movies that I never quite understood what they were saying, so I could look those up in the script. And then start to think, okay, how does this translate into something that's like Shakespeare, right? How does it go in iambic pentameter? Can a character be alone on the stage here to have a soliloquy? Or should they have an aside to the audience? Or is there some sort of fun Shakespearean thing I can throw in here? A reference to one of his plays or something like that. So, and I would give myself the goal each night of getting through about 5 minutes of the movie. And you do that enough, and eventually you've done the whole thing.
Wow. Like, so basically, you kind of have a month to write the book, or...?
Well, and I give myself nights off. So usually, I mean, when it came to the prequel series, usually a couple months to write a book. Yeah.
Wow. So, obviously, this is about Star Wars, but it's also about Shakespeare, an author that is near and dear to my heart and yours as well, clearly. Why do you think Shakespeare is still relevant for modern audiences?
Well, I think the stories that he tells are stories that we that all of us connect to. He was such a masterful storyteller, and his language is so beautiful. And his characters are so rich also. I mean, if you compare him to a lot of the drama of his time, you know, many of them were not nearly as, didn't have sort of the emotional depth that that Shakespeare's characters do, or they were flatter characters. And he just draws these really rich characters within these stories that we all relate to. And so I think that's why he's continued to be popular for hundreds of years.
Absolutely. And I'm a pentameter. Explain to our friends here at Washington, what is iambic pentameter?
So iambic pentameter is the meter that Shakespeare wrote most of his plays in. So it's a syllable pattern. Iam is an unaccented syllable followed by an accented syllable. So release, right? It's not release, it's release. And so pentameter, penta like pentagon, there are five of them. So a line of iambic pentameter is da-dum, 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 da-dum. The example I always give is from the Simon and Garfunkel song, "I'd rather be a hammer than a nail." Sort of the, you know, or to be or not to be, that is the quest, which is called an imperfect ending, a weak ending.
Right. Interesting. And that was something that you probably, did you already have a good background in that before you tackled these? Or did you, you are an expert in verse after writing these, but was that something that you had a background to kind of learn as you went along?
I had studied Shakespeare a bit and had written an iambic pentameter a little bit in years past. You know, I wrote the occasional sonnet because that's the kind of nerd I am. Yeah, I mean, it did take some getting used to when I was writing the first book, especially the first one. As I continued to write the books, it became much easier. So it turns out that, you know, iambic pentameter is like using a muscle. The more you exercise it, the stronger it gets. So these days, it's much easier to write an iambic pentameter, and I can hear it now when I'm watching a TV show or something, and I hear somebody say something in iambic pentameter, I can recognize it, and it really transforms the experience of watching Shakespeare perform. Because you can just hear the rhythm of it so much more.
So you're enhancing a lot of worlds here with this, and it's, you're emphasizing reading, you're emphasizing writing, you're emphasizing Shakespeare and all the great things, because he's influenced so much in culture, obviously. So let's talk, last question for you. Why is Star Wars such a useful tool to help promote literacy? Because Star Wars Reads Day, at first people might be like, Star Wars and reading, what? But there's more to it, isn't there?
Well, and I think it's because Star Wars is a group of movies, and then beyond that, books and all kinds of other things, toys, you know, that have connected to people our age and people our kids' ages and everybody in between and older than us, and, you know, so they are stories that have captured the imagination of millions and millions of people. And so I think it can help with reading because anytime you're reading about something that you are already engaged in or you already like, you're going to be more interested in it. So Star Wars sort of becomes the vehicle to help, you know, get kids interested in reading, right? I mean, that's certainly true for my own kids, right, who may not want to read a book that's a story that they're unfamiliar with, but if it's a Star Wars story, they're going to be more interested in it because they know the Star Wars galaxy already and want to hear more about it.
Absolutely. And so together you're talking about encouraging students to read, meeting them where they're at, and it's all about literacy and making that brain of yours even more smart and savvy. So Ian Desher, thank you so much for being here with us at Washington High School. Where can people buy your books or reach out if they want to ask you a question?
I have a website, iandesher.com, and there's a little form there that you can fill out. It comes right to me, and I'm happy to hear your questions. Yeah,
very good. Well, Ian Desher, thanks so much for being here.
All right, thank you.
I like the sound of that.
Echo 3 to Echo 7. Hano, buddy, you read me?
I saw part of the message.
I seem to have found it.
Tom here again, introducing, letting us know about some of the prizes. We just talked with Ian Desher, so here's Tom explaining that.
Yeah, thanks a lot for that interview with Ian Desher. That was fantastic. I want to remind everybody who's here that those Ian Desher books all autographed by Ian Desher, are on a raffle over at the book fair. Just make a small donation over at the book fair. Mrs. Eisenberg is holding up her the prize over there. That collection of books, each book individually signed with a special message in each book to the owner of those. Just make a small donation over there. Put your entry ticket into the bucket over there, and we will draw that prize at the end of the day. However, you do not have to be present to win that prize. So, but we will be giving that away at the end of the event at noon. I do have, if I can take some time on your show.
Sure, please do.
I have some more door prizes to get away, to give away. So get your orange tickets out. I've got lots of numbers to read because I had a few unclaimed over there. So I've got a few extras here to read. But here we go. While you're getting your tickets out, I want to remind you, don't forget to get your picture taken with the 501st Midwest Garrison and the Jedis and those guys over in that area. They've got the Stormtrooper target range. Looks like it's available for some shooting over there. We've got the Sarlacc pit around the corner. We got all sorts of great fun and games. So check those things out. So here are the numbers. Now check your orange tickets. Here are the numbers.
I do want to point out, if I win, these are for my son. They're not for me.
Ha ha. Okay. We have the first number is 830-8055. Next we have 830-8088. That's 8088. Next is 830-8050-8050. Then 830-8091-8091. 830. Next, 830-8034. 8034. This is great podcasting right here.
People listening to this in 8 months are going to be riveted.
That's right. 830-8062 is our next number. 8062. Next, you just bring your ticket over to the prize table here. Then 830-8017. 8017. Next is 830-8106. 8106. I'm waiting for some woohoos. I haven't heard many of those yet. 830-8081. 8081. And then 830-8047. So there are the ones that we've got. Don't throw those tickets away yet, though, because there are still more prizes over there. The last two books for the game, for the tickets that the kids are winning in their games, we'll draw those soon after Coffee with Kenobi is over. So there you go, guys. Thanks.
Thanks.
All right, so thank you very much again, Tom. One of the very best parts about Coffee with Kenobi for us is we get to talk with fans all over the world. Now here is your chance live to come up to the microphone and ask a question, offer your insights, or just say hello. Please line up over here by Mr. Gross, and we'll be happy to answer a comment on any Star Wars-related questions you have. This is your chance to be on a podcast. Come on down. For those of you listening at home, the line is overwhelming, and we may need security to make sure this works out. Yes. Come on down if you have a question or just want to say hello. Princess Leia is considering it.
Hello there. Who are you dressed as? Let's start with that. Who are you dressed as?
Princess Leia.
Princess Leia. Is she your favorite character? Why do you like Princess Leia so much?
It's a really awesome costume. Isn't it a great costume she's wearing?
Yeah. Why do you like Star Wars so much? How about that?
My dad, he loves it when he was little. So the first time he showed it to me, I loved it.
That is good. That's parenting. That's parenting done right. Well done. Well done.
Anybody else? You want to talk some? What do you think about Star Wars?
I liked it also because of my dad. He showed it to us, and I liked it. And then I forgot about it. Then we watched it again, and we're all really excited for the new movie.
Awesome.
So
absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Do you have a question?
This guy looks rowdy.
I'm actually the son of Corey Club.
Like sounds like Anakin and Luke a little bit.
Yeah, it's similar parentage.
Do you have a question or a comment?
Why do you like Star Wars?
Probably because it's in space and stuff.
That's as good a reason as any.
Anything else?
Nah, I'm good.
You're good? Yeah. You having fun today?
Yeah.
Good. Hello there.
I'm the daughter of the librarian.
That sounds official.
Yes, it is. Your costume is awesome. Who are you dressed as?
Ray from the new movie.
It's very, very cool.
Looks great, yeah.
Is your dad the person who introduced you to Star Wars?
Yeah.
That's pretty great. Well, you got a pretty cool dad. And a pretty cool mom for putting up with Mr. Gross. I think Corey and I are pretty cool wives for putting up with our Star Wars nerdness, right, too. Thank you.
Do you have any questions or comments?
My favorite movie is when The New Hope. A New Hope.
A New Hope.
Good choice.
Awesome.
But what I like about Star Wars is like it's very adventurous, and it's wanting your kids to get out there and like explore the world.
That's right.
And we have one more special person who looks got a pretty cool costume too.
Help him out.
Yeah, we'll help him out. This might be our youngest guest ever on Coffee with Kenobi. What's your name?
Mason.
Mason. Mason. Who's your favorite character?
Daddy.
Daddy? That is a great name. I didn't actually plan it. What costume are you wearing?
Darth Vader.
Darth Vader, very good. Can you say everybody hi? Can you say Star Wars?
Star Wars.
Well, thank you very much. Let's hear it for Mason. Yeah, we're biased. We had our kids on here. We were biased. Thank you, buddy.
So that was some fan moments there.
That's true. We're getting ready to get out of here. So Chewie, Han and Chewie are going to give us a special little note here.
Chewie, get us out of here!
Give the evacuation code signal.
Okay, thank you again so much, everybody, for being here. Let's thank Maureen Eisenberg and Caitlin Baumgarten and Tom Gross for doing such an amazing job making Star Wars Reads a reality here in Washington. We'll hope to do it again next year. Thank you so much, everybody.
You're welcome. Hey, let's give a hand to Coffee with Kenobi. What a great show, you guys. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
The intellectual property of Coffee with Kenobi, unless otherwise indicated.
This is the podcast you're looking for.
There's no one here. All along.
From Topps comes the all-new digital card collecting app, free to download from iTunes or Google Play. Star Wars Card Trader.
For the first time ever, collect and trade everything from legendary 1977 Star Wars cards to new cards featuring exclusive content from Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens.
All from the comfort of your mobile devices, Star Wars Card Trader.
These are the cards you're looking for.